We thank you for this church. We thank you for all the area churches, Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word will meet their needs this day. I submit myself to the precious Holy Spirit to have his way, to lead and guide me what I would say this day. And I thank God that you watch over your word to bring performance in each and every person's life. This day, in Jesus' name, all God's people said amen. Amen. I don't know if I've ever taught on this. I may have, but I got a series going there. It's called Favor with God and Man. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You may want to write this down. Success consists of getting up just one time more than you fell. That's real difficult, huh? Success consists of getting up just one more time than you fell. That makes a little bit of sense. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you. Now, you don't want them. Then he said he'll take them and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Look to verse 13. And the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only, not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Now look quickly over to Psalm 5. Everybody's different, church. Some people love this weather. And they can't stand the heat. Get out of the kitchen, right? I love the heat. But we got to live here, right? Psalm 5, verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. In Christ Jesus, you are the righteous. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Favor can transport you from your current circumstances to a place of blessing. Favor can. Isn't that true? Favor can restore relationships that have been severed for years. Think about that. You got to watch because people are like elevators. They can take you up, but they can bring you down. So remember, be cautious in friendships. Now, we're going to be talking about mainly favor, but also grace. And grace and favor are closely related. So I don't want to argue about their differences. There's some slight distinctions, but let me give you a definition of favor first. Favor is what comes on someone else, which allows you to do something you could never do on your own. That's favor. Favor is what comes on someone else, which allows you to do something you could never do on your own. Now, grace is what comes upon you, which allows you to do something you could never do on your own. Favor is what comes on someone else. Forgive me if I didn't say that. Favor comes on someone else, which allows you to do something you could never do on your own. Grace is what comes on you. Okay? Now, let me give you an example of that. Let's say you want to rent an apartment, all right? And you go there to fill out an application, and the secretary says to you, we're sorry, we don't have any more availability, so we can't just give you an application, all right? Right then, you're about to leave because she said there's no more availability, so why fill out an application? As you're about to leave, the owner of the apartment complex walks in and says, can I help you? As you're about to exit, you reply, well, we wanted to fill out an application, but I understand that the deadline has passed already. But the owner says, well, I don't know why I'm doing this, but go ahead and fill out an application. Has this ever happened to you? Not with an application, with something else? Okay. Something came on that owner And that something is favor, so that he looked upon you and allowed you to do something you couldn't do on your own. So you are chosen for that apartment. You were given prominence or favor, as we would say. I think that's pretty good. Look to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 3. Proverbs 1 through 10 is all great, but let's look to verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. That's why I entitled this, Favor with God and Man. Look over to Exodus chapter 3. Favor will always bring you to the top. It will. Favor will also accelerate your destiny. How many can use a little favor in their life?
Amen.
Then we're believing God for favor.
Yes, we are.
14 cents. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what do you get? Another day older.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. Everybody there?
Yes, sir.
And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. This is New King James.
Mm-hmm.
When you go, you shall not go empty-handed. You like that?
Yep.
Now look over to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11, verse 3. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Now, we told you a story about the apartment complex. Secretary said there wasn't any availability, and you were leaving the office, and the owner said, what can I do for you? You know, and he makes availability. Or at least you fill out an application and you get that place that they don't rent to the, they see someone they want to rent to at the last minute. Now, that was favor. Here's grace. It's a little different. Now, let's say that you are staying and dwelling in this apartment. All right? Same place, but you're living there now. And the owner comes to you after about a month and says, I have something I want to run by you. I need someone to manage and maintain this complex. And I'd like you to do that for me, and you can live here rent-free. Not a bad deal. It's a wonderful offer. However, you've never done this before. But you do agree to manage and maintain the apartment complex. Not that you have never done something like that before, but you know about grace. See the little difference there between grace and favor?
Yeah.
So you agree to do it, and you do things that you've never done before. And how many have done that? God's given you things to do that you've never done before. Something comes on you, and that's something we will call grace, which empowers you to do something that you could not do before. Look to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. You know what? We should confess the favor and grace of God every day. Every day. Make a difference. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Now this is talking about Jesus. Let's listen to this. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus did. In fact, Jesus had so much favor on him, he constantly told people, don't go say nothing about these healings. He had favor on him. Now, teaching on favor will not guarantee you that you'll have a problem-free life. That's not true.
Amen. Come on,
in this world, you will have trip.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Did not the religious leaders demand that Jesus be crucified?
Yes.
And it says right here that Jesus increased with favor with God and man, but he still went to Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to make a comment because this is so important if you're going to believe God for favor. Many Christians still don't see themselves as special in the sight of God.
Come on, Pastor.
Numbers chapter 6. Keep that thought in mind because I'm going to come back to it, okay? Numbers 6. Verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now let's look at that in the Amplified. Number 6:25. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. You are the object of God's affection. You are. Insecurity, fear, and frustrations of your past may cause some to have a wrong attitude towards life and their place in it, which they don't believe they deserve favor. Favor is not just a gift. Favor is a part of God's nature. Now, it looks back to Psalm 8. Don't have a wrong attitude toward life and your place in it. You have a significant place in life. Psalm 8. Verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Jesus says in Matthew 21, quoting this, says, you've ordained praise. So praise brings strength, right? You have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. And I want to read that to you in Amplified, because that's the word Elohim. And it can mean God or angelic beings. But the next verse, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Now, someone had quoted something I read that glory also means favor, but I checked about 10 references. I like glory, but I can't see where it means favor. They're not that different, but, you know, sometimes I wonder where they get these things. That's why I have a concordance so I can check someone out, just like you should check me out. Let me not check me out. Check what I'm preaching out. Psalm 8, Amplified. Yet you have made him a little lower than God, capital G, or heavenly beings. So Elohim means God in some references, and it means angelic beings in other references. And you choose what you take from this. Because it says You have made him a little lower than God or heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Hey, I'll be a little lower than the heavenly beings. But some people teach that as being just a little lower than God. Look to how God sees you. How do you, now when you think about it every day, how do you perceive that God looks upon you? Do you see that he looks upon you with favor? Or are you always mad at yourself and you can't see how possibly God could do that? God favors you. And the favor of God will open up doors for you that other things can't. The favor of God will open up doors for you that men say is impossible. Don't let anybody tell you it's impossible. All things are possible with God to those who believe. Divine favor is a powerful gift from God. Now, in the modern dictionary, the word favor means something granted, done out of goodwill or excessive kindness. Favored means treated with preference. You're treated with preference. Or given special advantages or assistance. There's nothing wrong with that. This day and age, you're going to need that. Isn't that right? Psalm 102, verse 13 in the NIV says, "You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it's time to show favor to her." Zion is type of the church. The appointed time has come. Who or what has the right to expect favor from God? Let's look in the Bible. Genesis chapter 12. You're not going too fast, are we? Genesis chapter 12. Who or what gives us the right to expect God's favor to flow in our lives? Genesis chapter 12, we see that God, well, let me tell you this. In Genesis chapter 12, God makes a covenant with Abraham. The Hebrew word for covenant is translated to cut where blood flows or where someone would make an incision. Okay, now that's Genesis 12. Now, let's look to Genesis 15. We just summed up what we wanted to say in 12. Genesis chapter 15. Let's look to verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven," talking to Abraham, "and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and it counted him for righteousness. Drop down to verse 9. So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Verse 10. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. This is where blood flows. The animal sacrifice was God's part of the covenant. Okay? God needed a substitute for his part, but for Abraham's part, he used Abraham's body. Two chapters over, chapter 17. You know what? We should have probably done a lot deeper teaching on the covenant because it's binding. It's amazing. And we're just talking about the Abrahamic covenant. Hebrews 8:6 says, and Jesus has given us a better covenant. In fact, the whole book of Hebrews, I have told you before, the key word in Hebrews is better, 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 better. Can you excuse me? Must have dehydrated from the frigid weather. Genesis 17, verse 1 through 11. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, now notice his name is Abram, "I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. You're a king and a priest, aren't you? And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in the generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I'll be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Jesus himself was cut and pierced in his side, and blood flowed from his side. Without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission for sins. This sacrifice symbolizes our covenant with God. Everything related to Abraham's life was blessed. Now, let's look to see how Abraham's servant Eliezer talks about him. Genesis chapter 24. We're keeping you right there, aren't we? I haven't said this for a while, so let me see if I get this right for you who are waiting upon a mate. Abraham sent out Eliezer, his servant, to bring back Rebekah for Isaac, right? God the Father sends out the Holy Spirit to bring back your bride or bridegroom for you. You don't want to do it that way. Now, if God the Father's involved in that, can you imagine? Oh, if I just don't go looking and going to every bar, how's God going to bring it to me? Well, let's see, because he's God. But you don't have to do it the way. One prayer. You just say, Heavenly Father, I just call upon the Holy Spirit, like Abraham sent Eliezer out there, and I ask that you bring a wife into my life, and I promise not to go in debt, so I will live in my parents' basement. I'm just teasing about that part. That's between you and your parents. Galatians chapter 3. You okay out there? We want to see where we fit into this covenant, right? Galatians chapter 3. Oh, thank you. Thank you. See what happens when I take a go on them side trail. Genesis 24. Thank you. Thank you. Genesis chapter 24, look to verse 34. Of course, that sidetrack was worth it. You know. The only problem is some people are saying, oh my gosh, why didn't I know about that 30 years ago? Well, if you're married, it's too late to know about it now. You can tell your kids. Genesis chapter 24. Well, it's God's way. I mean, every man, if you weren't saved, you did it man's way, right? Verse 34. You there? So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, camels and donkeys. You guys have none of those at your farm. This is what you're supposed to have. Look, you got flocks and herds. How about silver, gold? Male and female servants? Any camels? Donkeys? Anyhow, Galatians chapter 3. Jesus, help us all.
Amen.
This is where we fit in. Now, Dan, you kept asking me that, remember? This is where we fit in. Of course, I'm glad we went back there. Thank you, people. Went down that side, that rabbit trail. Those rabbit trails are Holy Ghost, though. No, they're not just war stories. Galatians chapter 3. Are you ready? Verse 7. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Whatever God did for Abraham, he will do for you. He wants you to have favor. He wants you to be prominent in whatever you do at the workplace, whatever book you write, or whatever business you own. Are you there in Galatians? I'm working you too hard today. Look to verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then verse 29. And if you are Christ, how many in here are Christ?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
Now, I can't force you to believe that. But you should live expecting God's favor to change your disappointments into success. Past experiences and failures have conditioned your mind to accept disappointments and discouragement. That's why you got to put those under the blood. Change your attitude and let God be true and every man a liar. In fact, look to Numbers 23:19 real quick. Say, let God be true.
Let God be true.
And every man a liar.
Every man a liar.
Not every man is a liar, but they're just trying to. The point is, let God be true.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone says, well, you can't have that job, let God be true.
Yeah, come on.
Anybody have it? Numbers 23:19, anybody got it? You can read it real loud.
Yeah,
right. You know it by heart. These pages are stuck together. I don't use this Bible like I should. I'm always using that King James. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Yes, he will.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 3.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 3 and verse 3.
For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Favor and honor will change your insecurities into success. God favors you. God loves you. There is a river of favor flowing to you. Now, when I wrote that down, the Spirit of God rose up on the inside of me, and this is exactly what he said. He said, you know, when you tell people that, some get irritated and upset with you. My Spirit of God rose up and said that. Because they cannot accept that God loves them. After all, this is their thinking process, their mindset. You don't know what I've done. How can he love someone like me? That's exactly why Jesus went to the cross, for someone like you and me. So you got to get rid of that, or you're not going to be able to bleed for the favor of God. You, oh, I don't need any favors. I don't deserve any favors. It's his nature. So let me try this again. See if you'll change and that agitation won't rise up in you. God favors you. He loves you. There's a river of favor flowing to you. Now you got to accept that. That God loves you and God favors you and begin acting and responding and believing for God's favor. I know none of you have never done this. I don't make it a habit of doing it because some of you think this is silly. Like you go to the mall. Of course, I don't make a habit of going to the mall either. It's my idea of doing nothing. My wife asked me to go. I mean, I'd go with her, obviously. But she'd rather go without me. Then she stays longer. But I've gone to the mall, and I have believed God for a parking place. I know. I said, Father, I believe I have favor. I got a parking place. And lo and behold, hey, now you can drive around 15 times and wait for it. Now, I haven't done this every time, but there have times I've done it. And you know what? A car pulled out, and I pulled in, and my wife doesn't like to walk anyway. So the shorter I am to the doorway, the better off I, you know. Did you think that's silly? Have any of you ever believed God for a parking place? Well, if you haven't, then just. It's like the children of Israel. Go ahead. Keep going around the Yucca Plant. Yeah, and don't forget to blow the horn, everybody you see, right? Well, you know, what are you going to do? So they say, how could God love me? Don't you know what I've done? Yes, he does, and he still loves you. You can't change God's love for you. You can't. And if you don't want to be willing and obedient and not live for him, he'll love you all the way to hell. Look to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Man, we covered a lot. I'm going to save some for next week, I think. Got a lot here. Oh, Lord. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives. Wow. And your father's house to the land that I will show you. God told Abram to leave his people and his past to go to a land that he would show him. Next, God said, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. Wow! and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. It says dispensing good to others. Explain something to me. Since some of you like that poverty mentality, and you think, you just want to be broke, busted, and disgusted. How can you be blessing to somebody else and dispense other stuff to someone else when you don't have anything to dispense? That's one of the key reasons for God to want you blessed, so you could be a blessing. Not so you can consume it on your own lust. God doesn't mind you having things, but how can you be a blessing if you don't have nothing to be blessed with? How can you bless someone if you don't have nothing to bless someone? And there's a lot of people out there need blessed. And a lot of people who aren't Christians, they need to be blessed. And then you bless them, and then you can tell them about Jesus. Yeah. Don't try to shove Jesus down there without blessing them.
Amen.
Especially if they're in need of food.
That's right.
They can barely hear you.
That's right.
Well, favor is a major part of our covenant blessings. And I'm going to leave you with that. And we'll stand.